Good morning. Put this timer on. Actually, put the Cafe Church one back up again. The last Cafe Church, I got a real download of faith for it. I was sat there. There was nobody there. That's because I was really early. And I was a little bit worried because Sarah and I, we'd been away all summer. And through the summer, it was just about a week before, I suddenly thought, we haven't organised it. Because I'd been so distracted by the summer. And then we quickly organised it. Tom was already speaking, but we hadn't organised anything else. I'm ashamed to say it. I was sat there and I was like, oh man alive, you know, is anyone going to turn up? Because I haven't really organised this properly, Gordon. I'm sorry, I just got this download of faith. And I thought, I knew it was from God because I had none. And I felt like God saying, I'm going to do something this term, you know, through these events. I really believe that they're going to be full. And that God's going to meet with people. And people's lives are going to be changed. And so I just encourage you, you know, really do share it on Facebook with people. I think I'm going to pay for some advertising on Facebook maybe this week as well. But it helps if lots of people have already liked it. Because that just helps it get out there a bit more. So, Psalm 103. We started a new series on Psalm 103, the benefits of knowing God. Tom started that 2 weeks ago, and Ian preached on verse 3. And funny enough, I'm going to preach on verse 3 as well this morning. It says this in Psalm 103, verse 3. It says, he forgives all my sins, and he heals all my diseases. And last week, Ian spoke about he heals all my diseases. And this week, I'm going to talk about he forgives all my sins. And you know, the other week when I was thinking about this church and praying about it and what God wanted to do, I felt the Lord saying to me, you know, I don't want you to build church, Stephen, because that's my job. All I want you to do is preach the kingdom of God. And I think, you know, that's what we're doing. This morning I'm going to preach forgiveness of sins, which is pretty core to the Christian faith, isn't it? Last week Ian preached about he heals all of our diseases. And we're going to be going through preaching about the benefits of knowing God and about the kingdom of God. And you really want to know about the kingdom, sign up to the Route 61 course as well. Just a little bit of an advert there. I've done one course as a delegate, Sarah and I, so my wife Sarah, we've led about 12 of them, I think, both in this country and in Estonia. There's always miracles. When I look through the course, there's nothing special about it. And yet, it's just anointed. It's like God's blessed it. And there's always miracles. There's always people's lives changed. There's always people healed in the most dramatic way. I mean, if you were here last week, Ian talked about that story where he went into that auditorium and he prayed for this lady. What he didn't tell you was, the last time we did Route 61, Ian and I and Carolyn, my sister, and Sarah and I, we were leading that course, the last Route 61, and Ian, he did a preach on God healing, and he got someone up to give a demonstration, and he brought them up, they were sat on the front row, he pulled up and he says, oh, and this is what I did, I prayed for the back. He says, in the name of Jesus, you know, be healed. And this woman broke down in tears. And Ian was like, oh, what's wrong? She went, I've been healed. She literally could hardly move. And Ian had dragged her up and he prayed for her in the name of Jesus, just doing a demonstration. Boom, the power of God came in. She's instantly healed. You know, every Route 61, people are healed. People are set free. People get rid of bitterness and anger and stuff from the past that they'd even forgotten was there that is affecting their life. It's well worth signing up because it's the kingdom of God. It's about preaching the aspects of the kingdom of God, and always something happens. Anyway, enough notices. He forgives all my sins and he heals all my diseases. The word, I looked it up in the Hebrew because that always makes you sound clever, and it says, and the word, the best translation into English is iniquity, which is not a word that's ever really used these days, which is why it doesn't say that in my translation. It's kind of a bit of a Victorian word. But It's a little bit of another word for sin, but it's a bit more than that. What it means is, it's like the character of sin. It's like the what's within us and what makes us behave that way. It's like, it's not just, oh, I did something wrong. It's like, that's that which is within us that makes us like that, that makes us want to sin, that makes us do the wrong thing. It's the character and sort of personality of sin. That's what it means. He says he takes away our iniquity. He takes away that which is within us that makes us sinful, that makes us do things that is wrong. And it actually also means punishment as well. So it's talking about taking away the punishment for the sin. So it's the character of sin and the punishment of sin within us. And by knowing God and having God in our life, we're free of those things. It's a pretty big deal, isn't it? But it's the benefits, you know, of knowing God. Verse 7, and in this psalm, it's... Everyone has favourite scriptures, and, you know, I've got a list of them, but actually, this is one of mine. It's a bit of an odd one. I like picking odd ones out. It's just maybe the way I am. Maybe I'm odd. But verse 7 says, he revealed his character to Moses and his deeds to the people of Israel. And I like it because it's a clear dividing line between what Moses experienced and what the people experienced. It says the people experienced the deeds, the miracles, the power, they experienced it. But Moses received the character of God. And I think, you see, these benefits are for those who know God. We can, like, see the miracles, we can see the stuff, we can go to church, we can be part of it. But the benefits are for those who were like Moses, who got close to God and knows the character of God. And God's calling us, like, into a close relationship with him to receive from him, to receive freedom. So they're like, the character of, it's funny, isn't it? Like, sin, iniquity, all those words, they're just such old-fashioned words that nobody really understands anymore. Nobody knows what they mean. And when they're explained, they still don't understand what they mean. Because we've got, like, the moral compass is totally sort of been distorted. And we almost don't recognize it anymore. But inside of all of us, there's a conscience, there's something there. And it's created by God. You know, it's just part of us. It's part of our mind. And we have an inbuilt sort of compass that tells us when something's the right direction or not. It's within all of us. There's lots of evidences for God. And you have to really close your eyes and deny the existence of God to not believe in him. Because it just makes sense. It's just, I mean, whether you like fully embrace one way of seeing God or not, there's a reality out there that we can all see, that God is real, that God exists, that this isn't all an accident. It doesn't make sense to think that it's a total accident. And beyond that, there's a moral compass within us. And you think, well, where does that come from? There's something within us that tells us right from wrong. And that exists in every culture. You can go to a tribe in the Amazon and you'll find that they have a similar understanding of morality to what we have. There's something within us that just tells us what's right and wrong. And we can ignore it and we can run away from it and we can push it down and we can come up with all sorts of things. We can, like, I'll say that's not really true, it's just your head, and, you know, but it's still there speaking to us. And that's this, like, conviction of sin, that something that says that actually we're not right, that we're not perfect, and we need something to sort us out. We need something to put us right. Every one of us, the Bible says, you know, that we've all fallen short of the glory of God. No matter how good you are, how far you can go, we're just not good enough to get there. under our own steam. We're never going to reach the target that God set for us. And we know that's within us. See, like the law of God. It's like every other law in the universe. If there was no law of gravity, we'd all be floating off to space. In fact, the Earth wouldn't even exist because it wouldn't pull together, and it would just be a mess. See, like the laws of the universe are there to make it work. If they're not there, if there's no boundaries, if there's nothing there, then the universe would fall to bits. It needs basic laws for it to actually work. It's another evidence of God, really. It's amazing that the universe is so vast and complex, and yet it's governed by really tiny formulas. And, you know, that's the laws of the universe, but there's a moral law as well that makes society work, that makes life work, that makes our relationships work, that makes us work properly. And it exists. It's real. And it creates boundaries in our life that, if they're followed, then life's a whole lot better. We might disobey the Ten Commandments every day of our life, but I think we all understand that if everybody obeyed them, life would be much better, wouldn't it? We might like to disobey them. We might like to have the option and the freedom to like occasionally just say, oh, well, maybe that's all right. But we all know that if everybody obeyed them, imagine how good life would be on planet Earth if nobody ever stole anything. You know, if everybody got a proper day off work, if everybody was nice to their parents, nobody told any lies, ever. Life would be pretty awesome, wouldn't it? And you see, it's like those moral laws, they're a bit like the laws of the universe, aren't they? I've heard it described like this. If you walk off a cliff, you don't break the law of gravity. You demonstrate that it's true. And it's the same with God's laws. If we break God's laws, we don't really break them. We just demonstrate that they're right. We might not suffer the consequences ourselves. Sometimes, like, we do wrong. It's like throwing a rock in the air. It might land on our head. It might miss everybody, or it might land on somebody else's head. It's a bit like that when we do wrong, you know. It might mess us up. It might mess somebody else up. We might get away with it. But, you know, you keep doing that, it's going to hit a lot of people, hit yourself quite a few times. And that's what it's like when we break God's laws. John Kilpatrick, the leader of the Pensacola revival all those years ago, used to say, God's got life fixed. So it doesn't work unless he's in the middle of it. The God of this universe has made life work when he's in it. And it doesn't work when he's not in it. And he's fixed life. And because he's God, there's no way around that. We need God in our life for it to be fixed. I was listening to Daily Grace this morning. And I was glad that Martin was anointed enough to speaking on the subject that I was speaking on today. He picked this scripture out of 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. He said, he, this is Jesus, personally carried our sins in his body on the cross so that we can be dead to sin but live what is right. By his wounds you are healed. And I thought, that's nice. That's what I'm preaching on this morning. Thank you, Martin. You know, Jesus, we need a saviour. We need Jesus. We need somebody who hasn't lived the life that we've lived, but lived a life that's pretty good. Not just pretty good, pretty awesome. Not just pretty awesome, perfect. We need somebody who did meet the grade, who has gone all the way and can get there, who's made the mark. And that person is Jesus. We need that person in our life. Only through Jesus do we have that benefit of having our sins forgiven, of being totally free from it. Most people know my story, and they say the older you get, the more you repeat yourself. So most people have heard this before. Sorry. It's called middle age, I think. But I grew up in a Christian family, and by Christian, I mean very Christian. My dad was an elder in the church. My granddad was a pastor. My other granddad was a prophet, believe it or not. His father had started the church that I was in. You can go back 250 years. Ancestors, some of them I think were Moravians, you know. So it's generation after generation. So I grew up in this family. It's very Christian. All my family went to church. In fact, most of the people in the church were actually my family. Literally my brothers or sisters or cousins. And so I grew up in this, and I believed in God, and it was real. And when I became a teenager, you know, I kind of wanted to be maybe a bit cooler than going to church. So I rebelled a little bit, not loads. I was never that rebellious. It's no point like making up some story, you know. I was never that rebellious. But I remember being, just before I went to university, I was in this place where my life was full of compromise. I was like in the church on Sunday and like really in. And the rest of the week, I was sort of out. It's a really horrible place to be. You know, sitting on a fence is not very comfortable. I felt really convicted, but I didn't know what to do about it. And we went to some meetings at, what was Emmanuel Fellowship that in those days? Tees Valley Community Churches. Now, we went to some meetings there. They were showing some videos. Pensacola Revival at the time, so that's how old I am. Steve Hill, the preacher there, he was preaching, and I got really convicted, you know. And he says, you know, if anyone wants to get saved, come out. And I felt like I should go out, and I thought, man, you know, I'm a Christian. I was looking around. There was all of, like, the youth group there, and I thought, oh, if I go out, you know, what will they think? But I felt so convicted, I thought, I need to go out. So I went out, and I kneeled at the front, and closed my eyes, and I opened my eyes for a second, and I saw Ian, who was preaching last week, was kneeling next to me, and I thought, oh, thank you, God, I'm not the only one. And I really met the Lord. I felt so like full of sin, and as I was kneeling there, I had a vision. Now, last time I said this, I said I'm not given to visions, and I realised as I was saying it, I thought, actually I am. But so all right, I'm sorry, it's a bit weird, but I had a vision. And I stood before Jesus. Jesus was on the cross. Saw it very clearly. And I was stood in front of him. And my hands were dirty. And I felt ashamed because I was stood before Jesus. And my hands were dirty. And so I tried to wipe it off. And when I did, I just got dirt everywhere. Instead of it coming off, it made it worse. I was frantically trying to get rid of it, but it was just sticking to me like glue. In those days, we used to have a church in Thorntree, and we used to put this like tar paint around it, because people used to like climbing on the roof and stealing the lead. So we used to put this, and it never dries, and you can't get it off yourself. And it was like that. It was all over me. I couldn't get rid of it. The more I tried to get rid of it, the worse I looked. And so I just was feeling more and more guilty, you know. I stood before Jesus and I was just like, I felt exposed. I was like, man, you know, you can see all this mess in my life. And I suddenly had this brainwave. I thought, I'll wipe it on Jesus. I remember walking up to Jesus and wiping my hands on Jesus. And as I pulled them away, they were completely clean. I got the shock of my life. Looked at them and I thought, they've never been that clean. And I wiped both my hands on Jesus and I was clean. And then, you know, boom, snapped out of that, and someone was praying for me then. But it's never left me. The only thing that can get rid of that mess in our life is Jesus. We need to be willing to come before Jesus, naked, so to speak. Say, look, God, this is what I am. This is what's in my heart. You know me. I can pretend to anyone else, but I can't pretend to you. We all have to have that moment, regularly, actually, of coming before Jesus and saying, this is what I am, God. This is the real me. You know, I know that we're all saved and we're righteous in Christ and all that. There's this little debate that very theological people have. Are we sinners? Are we saints that sin? You know, it's just nonsense. Truth is, we're both. If you're a Christian, you're both. We need to be real with God. Jesus said, forgive us our sins. God's calling us to come before him, be real and be set free. Whatever's on your life, whatever's on your hands, Jesus can set you free from it. You don't have to be dirty. You can be clean this morning, and you can receive that this morning because of Jesus. I really believe that God wants some people to receive that this morning. Receive real forgiveness in your heart. Know that you're forgiven. Know that you're free. Know that it's not on your life anymore. Maybe it's stuff that's going on now. Maybe it's stuff in the past that you wish you'd never done, you know. But Jesus can take all that away. You don't have to hold on to it and carry it anymore. You can be totally, totally free of it. Famous scripture, Isaiah chapter 1, it says, verse 18, it says, come, let us settle this, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, I'll make them as white as snow. Though they are as red as crimson, I'll make them white as wool. Jesus didn't just die on a cross to start a religion or to do some iconic act that people would never forget. It was to set us free. It was so that we didn't have to spend our lives trying to get rid of the wrong things that we've done, and so we could be set free. He wants to put like a new heart within us and a new life within us today. And if you're willing to come before Jesus today and say, God, I want to be free of this, just in faith and say, because that's how we come to Jesus. We come in faith. We don't come out of anything we've earned. We just say, God, I want to be free. I want to be different. I don't want this in my life. And I want to be clean. And I want to know that I'm clean before you. That's a benefit of knowing God. He forgives all our sins. He takes them away. So they're not there anymore. They don't exist anymore. One of the other psalms says he takes our sins away from as far as the east is from the west. So they're totally gone. We don't have to carry them in our life and have them in there anymore. But we can be totally, 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 totally free. So they're not on us anymore. That's what God wants for us today. That's what God wants for us in our life. That's what he gave to me when I was 19-year-old. And I've never looked back. It's never been the same since. I'm so glad that I had the courage to like run out to the front and meet God and not be too embarrassed about what anybody else thought. I'm so glad that Ian did as well. And I know he is as well. Yeah, let's pray. Just thank you that you're here this morning, Jesus. I thank you that you forgive all our sins, Lord, that you heal us and you deliver us, Lord, from everything that's deep within our hearts, Lord, everything that we've done wrong, Lord God. You know, right now, maybe there's some things, Lord, you just want to let go of. You know, this is between you and God. I'm not going to ask you to speak them out, you know. But maybe you just want to let go of some things now. Say, God, would you take that away from me? You know that I did that. You know that it was wrong. You know that that's what I am inside. That's the character of sin in me. But would you take it away? Maybe you just want to lift that up right now, if that's you. Thank you that you forgive all our sins, Lord. I just proclaim that over this church, Lord. I proclaim the forgiveness of sins. Proclaim the freedom that comes with Christ. I thank you that you set us free, Lord, and that it's real, Lord. I proclaim the blood of Jesus that cleanses us from all unrighteousness, all sin, all evil, all that's wrong in our lives. Thank you that you save us, Lord. Thank you that it's real, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Just a little prophetic word on top of all that. Nothing to do with the message, but when we were in that room there, I was just looking down and it's a game of frustration on the floor. And I just believe there's some people here this morning that you feel like your life's full of frustration at the moment. And it's like you're trying to play the game. You're trying to win it, trying to go around it and beat it. But the Lord just wants to say, don't play the game. You don't need to live under that. Don't try and win that game. Just throw it away. Say, frustration, I banish you. Be gone in the name of Jesus. And just receive the Holy Spirit. Don't try and play the game. The devil wants you to play the game and try and win it and get more frustrated. Just receive the victory of Christ. Amen. Tom.